One of the most visible religious figures in the world, the Dalai Lama, continues his week-long series of public appearances in Massachusetts. Today, he inaugurates a new ethics center that bears his name at MIT. But the big draw is tomorrow, when the Tibetan spiritual leader gives two public talks at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. More than 13,000 people are expected to attend. And as WBUR's Meghna Chakrabarty reports, excitement is growing among the Dalai Lama's thousands of local admirers.
Excitement? Yes. But perhaps it's appropriate that the excitement isn't overly vocal. It's more of a vibration.
Thus have I heard once the Blessed One was dwelling in Rajagriha.
A dozen people sit, legs folded on blue pillows, at the Shambhala Meditation Center in Brookline. They are both the newly curious and longtime followers of Tibetan Buddhism.
My name is Naomi Deutscher. I'm interested in Buddhism, and I always have been, but I haven't practiced it per se.
My name is Hazel Burkholz. I've been practicing for a long time, maybe 30 years.
I'm Charlie Trageser. I've been a student here at this particular center for over 30 years.
To these longtime practitioners, 13,000 seekers filling Gillette Stadium represent a gentle coming of age of Buddhism in the U.S.
I saw him one of his first times that he came.
That was 1979. The Dalai Lama spoke at a Harvard University church. Charlie Trageser remembers the venue wasn't full.
It's interesting how the enthusiasm and interest have picked up because he's in some ways a celebrity figure, but I think there's also something that he manifests that sort of get people very curious, right?
He's also an example of an extraordinarily compassionate and wise person that transcends any religious trappings.
Hazel Burkholz says it's one way he inspires people. People like Naomi Deutscher, who's new to Buddhism, but not to the Dalai Lama.
I think I have a book of his, something about happiness. He exudes that, this way of being that seems very present and very joyful and funny. And it's a good time for him to come now. You know, it's a good time for us to have him.
A good time for Americans feeling the stress of a bad economy. And a half century after the Dalai Lama was forced to flee Tibet, his visit comes at an important time for the 600 Tibetan refugees living in the Boston area.
My name is Bumdin Nodup.
The sound of Tibetan throat singing hovers in the air of Nodup's Cambridge store. Her family left Tibet in 1965. Nodup grew up in Dharamsala, India, the seat of the Tibetan government in exile for the past 50 years. She remembers playing on the temple grounds where the Dalai Lama sat in prayer. Nodup says his visit offers her children a chance to forge a link to a land they've never seen.
It's another blessing and reminder us who we are. I'm proud of my identity, though still we are refugee. But it renews our, you know, spirit, our connection, especially the youngsters. It's amazing for them to see and hear him.
Tenzin Chotun.
Chotun owns a Tibetan art store in Harvard Square. She says she has special reason to be at Gillette Stadium on Saturday.
I'm diagnosed with cancer last year.
A yellow and blue scarf covers her head, and she holds a Tibetan singing bowl in her hands.
And so I'm going to ask for a special audience with him.
The Dalai Lama has granted that private audience. But Chotun says that when she stands before him, she will not ask the Dalai Lama to cure her. Chotun, whose family was exiled the same year as the Dalai Lama, says she has a more distant future in mind.
My younger daughter, she is pregnant, and I'm going to ask him a name for he or she.
Oh, so you're going to ask the Dalai Lama for a name for
your
grandchild?
Yeah, for my grandchild, yes.
Perhaps it is appropriate, then, that even though the Dalai Lama says he believes he will eventually return to Tibet, his visit is producing the brightest vibration in Tibetans such as Chotun, who feel they may never return home. For WBUR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.